Good afternoon. My name is Rudy van Hoor. I'm the person Bart has been referring to many times, so here I am. So what I'm going to do, I will give you a sort of deep dive overview what the kind of investments and solutions we are having in terms of private cloud, public cloud. If we talk today about public cloud, I will talk about platform as a service, so our Azure offering. I will not talk about software as a service, so I will not talk about Office 365, for instance. And then I will talk about the exciting world of hybrid cloud and how we sort of implement, how we offer those hybrid cloud solutions. So, and again, we are just sharing our thoughts, our R&D investments. And if your feedback is that, well, hey guys, what you're doing in terms of private cloud, it doesn't make sense, please do so. Now, before we start, I have a video and a blog. So a video, so Bart has been talking about the Microsoft data centers. And when I talk about private cloud, I will talk about appliances. So to give you an idea how our data centers look like, and if we, certain types of appliances, how they will look like, I have a video. As you can see, it's only 36 seconds. And what you should, yeah. So what you're seeing here, you see this big American truck, and this American truck is driving into the data center, and what you see, it's a container. And this container is full of compute, storage, and network resources, basically. And as that's how we build certain of our data centers. We just hire an American truck, we drive in the data center, and we basically sample them in the data center, and the container has two entries. It has a power entry, you need electricity, and a network connectivity. And the container as a unit is basically provisioned, activated in the data center. So if you would think that data centers, next generation data centers are data centers with racks full of servers and storage nodes, no. Some of our data centers are just containers. I think yes and no. In the sense that you if I talk about appliances, it's as a customer, you will buy a Microsoft HP appliance, you will get this container as an integrated solution, and it will be transparent for you, right? You will never basically open the doors. Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I'm showing now, it's a blog which I sometimes read at night. So if you have it's a hint. So if you have a conversation with your management and you have to convince them that cloud computing is the way to go, this blog it contains the mathematical proof that cloud computing is the way to go. So in a former life, I did a lot of mathematics, and then you will see it's kind of nice. He starts with text, but then he starts to build the propositions and the proof of the propositions. And so in a formal way, he's sort of proving that, let us say, cloud computing, because of the economy of scales and et cetera. Anyhow, this was the start of my presentation. So if you're interested in our blog, just ping us. I will send you the URL. Well, it's kind of easy. It's cloudonomics. So it's a contraction of cloud and economics. Okay. So start with private clouds. You have seen the definition of Bart on cloud computing, on public cloud. So you can read, you have a pretty formal definition of private cloud. So the biggest difference between private cloud and public cloud is that you have an infrastructure which is dedicated to one organization. If you go to a public cloud, that infrastructure is basically dedicated to many, many, many organizations. So the big difference is that you have a dedicated infrastructure. For the rest, you should have all the goodies of cloud in terms of agility, in terms of automation, in terms of chargeback. I will talk about that. Now, there are, in terms of delivering or implementing a private cloud, there are basically two ways to do that. One is that you as a customer can decide, well, I will work together with Microsoft, HP, or whatever. I will hire a partner and I will build my private cloud. That's one option you have. I will talk about that later on as well. Another option you will have is that you go to service provider, and that service provider will host your private will manage your private cloud for you. Now, when we talk about private cloud, we mainly talk, today we will mainly talk about infrastructure as a service. How can I build within my data center or a service provider an infrastructure as a service within my data center? Also, we have a project which is called Azure Appliance. I will talk about that, where we will be able to deliver a private cloud appliance, and that appliance will be a platform as a service. But again, I will talk about that later on. And basically, the biggest PaaS appliance we will have will basically be a container containing thousands of servers. We will have, of course, smaller appliance with tens or hundreds of servers. So the container you have seen will be in reality for some customers. You have seen this slide of Bart, so I will not repeat that again. The only thing I want to add is that if we, as Microsoft, have a conversation with you about private cloud, for us, private cloud is not just a new thing or a big bang approach. It's just the next step in the evolution of your data center. It's just the next step in optimizing, making your data center more efficient. And you can do that by, as you can see on the slide, higher utilization, automation, et cetera, doing pooling and that kind of stuff. So that's basically when I have a meeting with a person who is responsible for a data center, I'm always very humble because that person has been investing for years in a data center. So who am I to say, well, throw away all your investments you have done. So our vision on private cloud is how can we build further on the existing infrastructure, the existing investments the customer has been doing in the data center. Talking about semantics of cloud, a lot of people think private cloud, well, that's virtualization. I have been virtualization to consolidate my data center, to optimize my data center, so I'm a private cloud. Now, again, from a definition point of view, this is not private cloud, but it is the foundation. I mean, the first step towards a private cloud is really virtualization. If you have customers and most of the data center is physical, it doesn't make sense to come in with a nice appliance from HP or whatever. Our recommendation will be, well, first start to consolidate using virtualization technology, right? So when you have virtualized your data center can become a private cloud, and it's not a surprise because Bart has been talking about that several times. You will add some cloud qualities to your data center. It's about automation. It's about scalability, elasticity. I will talk about that later on. And it's about self-service. So self-service, what you will do as an IT organization, you will basically set up a portal, a self-server portal. The portal will contain a service catalog, and the business or the departments will be able to select a services from that portal. So you will essentially, you will basically improve the relationship with between the IT and the business. So I don't know whether that's in your case, but today I see a lot of tension between IT and the business departments. Business is saying, well, IT is slow, they are expensive. If I want to deploy, I'm from marketing, I want to set up a campaign, it takes 3 months, 4 months before the IT can set this up. So the whole idea about private cloud and self-service is to really create that agility within your own data center, right? Yeah.
Because I believe that all of around 90% of the people around here can perfectly give you a server in probably an X amount of time, but it's not about the server, it's about the application.
Yeah.
I think you're going to struggle with the same thing, or not.
No, that's a very good question. And actually, in our strategy moving forward, when I will talk about System Center, our end-to-end management solution, the focal point of System Center will be indeed application provisioning and application monitoring, rather than moving up from the infrastructure layer up to the...
Sure, but isn't there more something to say for starting like a community? Like, for instance, if you look at the App Store or the BlackBerry App Store, that you get like real commercial applications out there in the world where a community of people can benefit from. If I have to package up Acrobat Reader, which is probably the same as everybody here is using, mm-hmm. why would I package it and why other people can benefit from that fact? If I can buy that off the shelf, customize in some form of way, and that can be delivered to me through the cloud, that would be an advantage, and that would save me money.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that is... portion goes into the application delivery and not into the infrastructure. And that's where the money is also being spent today in making sure that if you're talking about 700 applications, how do you virtualize those 700 applications?
I agree.
That's where you get the people involved in doing that, and that's expensive labor.
Yeah.
I agree, but on that respect, I can say that they're building more and more functionalities in the back. You can see it as a platform as like a runtime, which allows you to build your application. See more and more in the future. People, applications who will be Windows Azure enabled, mm-hmm. meaning that will use, let's say, 60 or 70% of their functionality will come from the platform. Which is still a big step from having the whole application, but we are working on that vision that we are, let's say, 60% of the application is basically provided by the platform. But this still means it's still should be seen as a platform, as a runtime, a meta runtime, if you want. For applications, certain type of applications will be easier to deploy because you're using the infrastructure which is already available. And I'm not talking about physical infrastructure, I'm not talking about the infrastructure as a service, I'm talking about platform as a service. The components are there, the components are managed, the components are spring wrapped in a good way for you, optimal for you. So that's 40% or 30%, depending on application, even less. For instance, if you have a web application, it's except for the content. 100% of your web application is running and is supported by the cloud infrastructure. So it's already there in a way. You just don't position it as being, but if you look at a typical web application or web service layer or anything in between that, 100% is already managed by the platform.
But to answer to your question, and it's not a complete answer, is later on I will talk about the work we are doing, for instance, with HP around appliances, private cloud appliances. Now, those private cloud appliances are not only infrastructure as a service, so we were also working together with HP so that as a customer you will be able to provision SharePoint, Exchange on the private cloud appliance, so as part of this self-provisioning thing. So that's part of the automation of the in provisioning of applications on the infrastructure. The second thing, I agree with you, and basically that's the last slide of my presentation, where I really think that you as a IT department, you will be the self-service portal, you will not only provision services which come out of your data center, you will also provision services which come out of the public cloud. And that can be a sort of, that can be the Microsoft cloud, but it can be another cloud as well. So in that sense, I really believe that that will happen. Does that sort of answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, I know what the problems are there. We can't solve them together.
So one of the things we are doing in the public cloud is pooling now. So we will pooling of resources, computer, storage, and network. With our private cloud solution, we can do the same within your data center. So what you see here, the slide, is that you have a static infrastructure which is serving a different line of businesses. With a private cloud solution, you basically can do the same like in the public cloud. You can basically optimize in a dynamic manner the usage of your resources you have and allocate them in a dynamic manner to applications for specific departments. Now, in terms of solution stack, what is, if we talk about Microsoft Private Cloud, there are four big components. There is Windows Server, which is our operating system, scalable, high available, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So containing also Active Directory, which is important in terms of access and identity management, security. Then we have the virtualization layer, Hyper-V. Then a very important component is System Center, which is, I will talk about later on, which is our end-to-end management solution for data center, but also for hybrid cloud environments. And then there's this self-service portal, and there you see the mathematical proof that Microsoft is a marketing company, because the branding of our self-service portal is Virtual Machine Manager self-service portal. So anyhow, so those are basically the four big layers of our private cloud solution. Here you have another view on the solution, and I'm showing this slide because I think during break now, in the beginning of the session, we were talking about usage-based billing. If you go to the public cloud, I will talk about Azure, you will only pay for what you use. Also, you will see the same principle in our private cloud solution. You will make the cost structure of IT more transparent, because our solution does include a billing component, so you will basically be able, like in a public cloud environment, you'll be able to bill the businesses on a usage basis of IT resources, basically. And I believe that's also a typical friction between IT and business. What's the cost of something I deliver as a service, or isn't? Yes. Yeah. Ah. So I have been talking about System Center, and System Center, you have to see that really as an end-to-end management solution. We with System Center today, we can manage devices, but also physical servers, virtual servers, but also hybrid cloud environments. So today, we can already manage with System Center applications which are running in the public cloud, right? So it's really one integrated, not only within the data center, but across private and public clouds. Important component you might have heard of our offering within System Center. So Opalis. Opalis is a process automation tool, and it's really key to define workflows to automate, for instance, the automatic provisioning or deprovisioning of virtual images. So Opal is really key in that story. Another thing, as I've mentioned, that our approach to private cloud is that we realize we never come and enter into a greenfield situation. We have been investing already a lot of money in your existing data center, not only in Microsoft technology, but you have probably invested in Unix or Linux. You have Oracle databases. So the important message we want to bring here is that we, from a management point of view, we support a heterogeneous environment. So you might know that, for instance, System Center, we can not only manage our hypervisor, but we also manage VMware. Our hypervisor, we can virtualize Linux distributions, and those Linux distributions are supported. What does that mean? We mean that we have a relationship with Red Hat, for instance, and if you would virtualize Red Hat on top of Hyper-V and you have an issue, you can call Microsoft and we will help you to solve the problem. So that's really important. I've been talking about Opalis. Opalis is also supporting heterogeneous environments. If you, for instance, have already HP OpenView, you have Altiris, you have IBM Tivoli, you have CA Unicenter, you have BMC Patrol. What's left? I don't know what. We, from Opalis, we can integrate with those existing management solutions in your data center. And Opalis will basically be the orchestrator in your data center to manage and automate your data center. So that's important vision we have on a private cloud solution. Bart has been talking about security. Security in data center today is important. The security in private cloud is important, certainly when we talk about hybrid scenarios where you connect to a public cloud. Security will certainly become important, and you will see later on when I talk about hybrid cloud that we have solutions for that built in Azure from day one. And here you have an overview of the kind of security solution we are currently supporting in our private cloud solution. Now, again, how can you as a customer implement a private cloud? First thing you can do, well, as I already said, you can decide, I'll build my private cloud myself, I hire a partner, and we start implementing it. Another option, and this is the appliance story I will talk about, is that we have partnerships with HP, with Dell, with, I'm looking to Caroline now, with IBM and Fujitsu. Yeah, so we have a partnership with several hardware vendors where we can deliver basically a pre-configured, pre-tested, and integrated hardware and software private cloud appliance. I have some pictures and examples of that. The third solution is this famous Azure appliance, which is not, so I have to inform you, it's not available. You can't buy it today. So the solution is still in development. We are developing that solution together with HP and Fujitsu. One of our beta customers is eBay. So the whole idea about Azure appliance is an appliance which can, the most biggest appliance will be a container like the one you have seen in the video. And it will be a pre-integrated, pre-tested, pre-configured platform as a service, private cloud. Not only the infrastructure, but also the application platform will be delivered as an appliance. And then the fourth option, I already mentioned that. You can also say, well, I will not build my private cloud. I go to a service provider, and that service provider will host and on the basis of SLAs provide that solution to me. So this is an example of an appliance. So on the one hand, you might know the Matrix solution of HP. It's a blade system, right? And we have a partnership with HP, coming with the private cloud stack of Microsoft to deliver that as an appliance. In fact, we are currently implementing such a solution in our briefing center in the center of Brussels. So it will be operational somewhere in April, and the purpose of that private cloud will be for you to have a look, taste it, feel it, what the private cloud solution is all about. So together with HP, we will implement different scenarios in terms of self-service portal. What does that mean? Automatic provisioning, decommission of virtual machines, the application, the SharePoint thing we were talking about. We will be able to show this off. So this is point I want to make. This is reality. So if you wanted to see that or have a demo of it, I suggest to contact us, and we will be able to show you that in April. So another thing we are doing with HP, and it's not a complete answer to your question, but it's an appliance, but it's more than an infrastructure appliance. So it's basically a database appliance, where we have not only the infrastructure stack of Microsoft, but it comes with a SQL Server, which is provisioned in a dynamic manner, scalable, et cetera, et cetera. So this will be available in H2 of this. Of Richard, it was H2, so it will. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys install Microsoft stuff on it, which, I mean, I'm not getting the point.
Yeah, me neither.
In what sense?
What's the big advantage of this? I mean, it's infrastructure has a service pipeline, so it's a box that's looking at my data set, let's say.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to manage everything.
Everything comes preloaded. You don't have to buy, say, your hardware from HP separately, your storage nodes separately. Yeah. This comes with as a pre-integrated, pre-tested, fully loaded software stack, and you basically.
Today with that. than on the other areas. This, if you talk about virtualization, consolidation, then it depends on your workload. You can't guarantee performance for workload if you don't have workload.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And who manages the OS
This is a private cloud, so one of the benefits of public cloud is that it's all managed for you. One of the things in private cloud is that you don't have to take someone else's management tasks on your own.
It's true. Except what I forgot to say, I was talking about the Azure appliance. This will be managed by Microsoft. The private Azure appliance will be managed by Microsoft. All the way down. So we deliver you the container in your data center, but we will manage it. Yeah. Those things, we can talk about it. If you look to the private cloud solutions, you see sort of two trends. One is the custom. You buy solutions to sort of build to further evolve your data center towards a private cloud, or you have this appliance thing. So you have the vBlock of EMC, Cisco, and VMware. This is also a private cloud appliance. Oracle has its Exadata, Exalogic appliances. We are collaborating with HP, Dell to come with appliances. So you see, a double trend today in the market if you pure look to private cloud appliances. And that's basically what I'm saying here. But your feedback is sort of, I don't want those appliances. I want to.
No, I'm just positive about the concept. That's why I'm trying to place it somewhere. I can't place it.
I have the feeling we're not yet in the cloud.
I'm not getting you ready. This looks to me.
It's
like
a private cloud, right? You want to.
It's like a cluster package bot like HP had in the past. Package cluster, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Cloud comes with the management software to be able to get a self-service or partly self-service and provisioning.
The automation, the self-service,
the system center.
Yeah.
This comes as a pre-configured system.
I don't know. Richard should know. No, but I like the feedback because, and the interaction because on this private cloud thing, because Bart says that people are talking about private cloud, public cloud. Our vision is that, the location of the cloud, of the infrastructure doesn't really matter. But what we see in the market is that traditional data center vendors are basically pushing that kind of cloud model in the market because it's what you said, it's basically repackaging of something which was already there. So there I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Now we will talk about Azure, which is the branding of our platform as a service, and Bart has already mentioned it. It's what we offer in the public cloud is an application platform, which is managed by us. It's scalable, elastic, secure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the only thing you have to do is develop your application. So it's all about application. You can focus on your core business. We'll not discuss that. Not neither. So this is a high-level overview of our Windows Azure platform. You have basically, three, but two big components. You have Windows Azure, which is the compute power and the storage in the cloud, in the public cloud. You have SQL Azure, which is SQL in the cloud, so it's database in the cloud. And on top of that, you have the developer experience. So what kind of one, what kind of tools, and what kind of application frameworks do we support? Of course, we support a .NET application framework. So with Visual Studio, you can develop, test, and deploy application on the public cloud. But you see also Eclipse. Eclipse is an open source Java application development tool. So we have plugins for Eclipse for Azure. So we, what does that mean? We do support in the public cloud Java as a first citizen application platform in our public cloud. And then you see also the PHP, Python, and Ruby, which are the more dynamic scripting languages, which are also supported in Azure. So again, we, like in the case of our private cloud story, we do support heterogeneous environments in the data center. Here too, from version one, in our platform as a service offering, we do support, let us say, the main application development frameworks in the market, .NET, Java, and the scripting languages, right? This is a more detailed view on the kind of services we provide in Azure. So Windows Azure, as I said, you have the compute power, thousands and thousands of servers, storage, the network infrastructure of Azure uses CDN, a content delivery network, so it's a high bandwidth network to deliver services or move data over the networks. SQL Azure, as I said, is the database, SQL database in the cloud. It has as of today, reporting functionalities, and will move more and more into a BI-like kind of service in the cloud. And then we have Windows Azure App Fabric, and you have, you basically can think of App Fabric as a service bus in the cloud, so you can compose new applications on the basis of existing web services, either in the cloud or on-premise. I will talk about that, to build new application. App Fabric is also key in implementing security, so to implement access control to applications you will develop in the cloud. It will also come back to when I talk about hybrid cloud. And very important, and if you would see the pricing model of Azure, it's pay as you use. So we charge compute by the hour. So I need one instance, two instance, three instance. Well, it's that many by the hour. The same for storage, it's that many per gigabyte. Idem for database. We will charge SQL Azure per 10 gigabytes, I think. So the point I want to, if you would see an invoice of Windows Azure, you will see, I think, 7 or 8 parameters, which are the meters of your usage of the public cloud. So that's very important to understand. So during Bart's presentation, there has been some questions already around security and privacy, and those are really the four main security and privacy principles we maintain within Azure. It's confidentiality, integrity, availability, accountability. Accountability means that we have monitoring and reporting tools, so you, as a customer, has an insight what's happening with your data and your applications in the Microsoft data center. So you basically can audit Microsoft on each time of the day if you really are respecting security, privacy, and confidentiality, and that sort of things.
Compliance as well? SOX compliance statements and all that stuff?
Well, in terms of compliance and security, I know we support a number of American and European compliance rules, but I'm not sure whether SOX is part of it. Do you know that? I have to look for that. I know we support the European privacy thing. We support safe harbor. So we do support a lot of, but SOX and
that one as well. I mean, there are 59 standards, if you want, or compliance rules, regulation rules that support.
If you do financial, then probably you must do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the reason is not we only do it because of with the vendor, but we also do it because of our office QC price. So actually, we have to do that. It's a little matter of price for the rest of
the. Yeah. But we can provide the list if you want. Yeah. And your question comes, I have here, I switched to another presentation because I wanted to, because I have been talking about Azure in a very abstract manner and just wanted to give you some examples of customers who are using Azure for applications and also some local, some Belgian. We have several Belgian references. So I wanted to make sure that you go away with the view, oh, this is real. And also in Belgium, it's real. So on this slide, you see the kind of, if you talk about asset Azure as a platform as a service, so you have an application platform, what are the kind of scenarios, application development scenarios, which I can use Azure for? And the first one is pretty obvious, is to say, well, I'm going to develop a new application, then certainly Azure could be an option for you. And again, we sort of contrasting Azure with infrastructure as a service like Amazon. If you would go to Amazon, Amazon provides you a great service, but what they provide you is a virtual machine, and then it's up to you to build your application in a secure, scalable, and et cetera way. In the case of Azure, those things come, well, not for free, but that they are provided by us as a service, and you can develop your application. This is a Belgian example. Auchan is a French company, but this was done by a Belgian partner of us. And that's one of the scenarios Bart has been mentioned, that this was typically a marketing campaign which has been running for 3 months, right? So, and they expected some high peaks because apparently you could, when you went to Auchan, you could, you get all kind of cards and et cetera, et cetera. So that's typically, I would say, marketing campaign, which is limited in the time, and you would expect some peak moments. That's an option. Another example, if what I would call really a business critical application running in Azure is EasyJet. EasyJet is like Ryanair, it's a low cost company. They have serving different airports in Europe. It's a low cost a company, so they want to reduce. I don't think they have a data center. You see here they needed a solution for the intake of luggage in all those different airports, so they wanted to reduce on-site people in the airport, so they develop an application in Azure for the automatic, you see, the checking the luggage in the different airports. So this is a really nice example of a business critical application.
That's a hybrid platform, I assume.
No.
So how do they get the printouts in the airport on the luggage?
Well, you see what they have. They have a, I don't know all the details, but what I have here is a sort of scanner, ruggedized scanner, and they basically scan, which goes, I think, over the net, over the airport network to Azure. Should all be internet, and also
I could potentially try to access this application from anywhere.
Yeah, but yeah, okay, but it's
cloud or a hybrid cloud.
It's a public cloud, yes, and you access it via IPC, but via this barcode the device. Yes, but it's. You in your home in Belgium, I mean, it's protected by all sorts of, you have to identify, I mean, there is still, personnel of EasyJet on site, so they have the credentials to access the application.
Yes, so the only protection is credentials.
No. I don't know the security mechanism, but. Access control, yeah. Yeah, I will talk about that, yeah. 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 Yeah, I will talk about that. I don't know if they use Azure Connect, could be, I don't know. You were talking about banks. So, Temenos is a software company based in Switzerland, and they provide solutions to banks. And one of their banking solutions is now live on Azure, and you see a couple of customers, a financial services company, who are using that application. So it gives you an idea. I'm not saying they are... this is a Basel II or whatever compliant application, but it gives you an idea that if you talk about banking application, that security, I mean, a bank and security is very important, just to give you an idea that, yes, you can develop secure business applications on Azure. So as I said, we have SQL Azure, which is a database, high available, highly scalable database in the cloud. One of our SQL Azure references is a local reference. It's on the one hand, we have a company called Element 61. It's a partner of ours who has been developing a BI solution for the SME market in Belgium. And one of the first customers of that solution is it on? It's BioBest. Maybe you know it. It's a kind of interesting company. They maybe Richie, you can give some background. So
they sell bugs.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Reporting service, that was all out of the box, but they need to add by the intelligence And this is part of a project by the EU and Lanza over there, by the way, which is to prove the point that cloud can add value for SME.
For the SME market. So if you would read analyst reports, they certainly would say, well, cloud is certainly, a public cloud is ideal for SMEs, because BioBest, they are selling bugs, but I don't think they have a huge IT department, or maybe they don't have an IT department. So for them, public cloud, it's a pay. Again, I explained Azure is pay-per-use. You pay per compute instance, hour, gigabyte, whatever bandwidth you're using, right? Another scenario with Azure is that you have an existing application, you modernize it, and you move it to Azure. And this is another local reference we have. If you are a runner, you will know Chrono Race, because you have to, if you want to run the 20 kilometer of Brussels or the marathon of Brussels, you have to register it via Chrono Race. They have, and then you will get a chip from them. And they do exact time measurements when you, at your arrival, there are some, I don't know, in English, mutton on the floor. And then when you pass it the chip, you get all those data, time measurement data. They also take pictures of you when you run. They take videos of you when you run. And they used to have a website which was hosted, I don't know, somewhere with a traditional hoster. And what happens is that 1 hour after the end of the 20 kilometers of Brussels or the marathon or whatever the thing they do, because they each weekend they are doing time measurement of many running events and also cycling events. So people, there are 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 people going at the same time to the Chrono Race website to see their result, and they see the pretty pictures and the video of themselves. So what happened to the website was crashing. So Chrono Race came to us, so we moved, I think, in a couple of weeks, the existing application to Azure. And what you see here is Bart has been talking about peaks, unexpected peaks, and that's what you see here. You see, in fact, it's a graph of the usage, the compute instance usage, and the hits per minute on the Chrono website. You basically see the elasticity of Azure. It's just, in terms of compute power, you are just following the number of hits per minute you get on Chrono. So this is another nice example. Oops, I was going too fast here with the Vert. We do support a virtual machine role in Azure. So if you have an existing application and there's a couple of constraints. One constraint is it should be Windows Server 2008. Yes, you can move that application to Azure. We are currently working on a full virtual machine role within Windows Azure, which is basically will be comparable to what you could get on Amazon.
On the file standard.
Yeah. But again, this is not today. This is for tomorrow. We have also storage. So we have you can basically use Azure as a storage public cloud. And this is not a local example, but it's, if you see the example, you will understand it. It's a media company in the US. They have newspapers, but also radio station, news and TV station. So they have a lot of content. So, and basically they're using Azure storage as a central storage solution, which is used by the different companies they have to produce content in whatever form. And that I already mentioned in my introduction about Azure. It's an open platform, and here you clearly see that from an application development point of view, we do support .NET, but also Java, PHP. And one of the recent local references we have is a is a project we are doing together with Real Dolman. It's a project which is called BIX, and BIX is actually a solution for local governments. It was also an existing application. It was based on Tomcat, and Tomcat, as you probably know, is an open source Java application server. Postgres is an open source database. So in less than 1 month, they migrated that application to Windows Azure. So within Windows Azure, we support Tomcat as an application platform, as we support .NET as an application platform. And they migrated the Postgres database to SQL Azure. I have a video also of that, a reference, but it's taken quite long. But if you're interested, I can show it afterwards. But again, it's a nice reference of local applications for local governments. And it's a nice illustration of the fact that we do support, for instance, Java in Azure. So this was a quick overview of the kind of application scenarios you can have within Azure. So we have been talking about private cloud or on-premise. We have been talking about public cloud, about Azure. And now we are talking about hybrid cloud, which is basically the integration. What are the integration scenarios, or how do we implement the integration between on-premise and public cloud? This slide is kind of interesting. It gives you if you're considering to move an application to the cloud, those are the kind of criteria you will use to decide on the basis of application state, application scale. Yes or no, I can move an application, a new or an existing application, to the cloud. In many cases, you will just say, I'm not able to move an existing application to the cloud. If you have SAP running in your data center, I don't think SAP will be a good candidate to move to the public cloud. But with hybrid cloud, you have some interesting scenarios to leverage the investments you have done in SAP, for instance, and build applications in Azure we will integrate with SAP. Bart has already shown that slide, the reason why we basically can easily integrate public cloud with private cloud, because you have this common platform in both cases. So this is an important slide. This is the four different scenarios how we will create, implement hybrid cloud services between the on-premise and public cloud. Bart and certainly Richie has just mentioned it. So we have Azure Connect, and Azure Connect, you have to basically see that as a secure tunnel, a VPN we will set up between your on-premise and the private cloud. One scenario, people using Azure Connect, you have data sitting in your data center and you don't want them to move them to the public cloud because of security, privacy, compliance reasons. So you can, with Azure Connect, you basically create a virtual cloud between Azure and your on-premise data. An application is running in Azure, accessing via Azure Connect the data which resides on-premise. That's one of the solutions you can use when you have security or privacy issues. Yeah, we have to check that. Yeah.
I would have to verify the solution to be sure, but it's 99% sure, because indeed you wouldn't want to expose that data just to the public. You want to have that privacy layer.
Yeah.
Does the customer have a choice in where that data center sits? Where did it get data center sits from Microsoft?
Which public data center?
and in the location.
Yeah, because you say although it doesn't matter for the end user where it sits, it might have something to do if you have to provide connectivity in that sense. Is it coming out of the States?
No. We have data centers in Europe. So we have our main data center is in Dublin,
yeah.
And if you store data in Dublin, it gets immediately replicated in our data center in Amsterdam.
If you would have like a follow the sun principle, because we're sitting all over the globe, an application, would it be available in multiple data centers then? Or
Good question.
Because I don't feel anything, people coming from Singapore.
No, I think it's possible, but let me check that. I think it's possible. Do you know the answer? I think it's possible. If you're a global company. I think it's possible because if you.
Yeah, but you don't pay for an application, you pay for usage of a CPU instance. And bandwidth.
And you're right. Because if you have a site of your company in India, and your application is only running in the data center of Dublin, then the bandwidth cost will be higher than when you from Brussels would access. So,
bandwidth cost,
The distance doesn't make sure it's the bandwidth.
It's
the
relevant. It's only for latency or due to speed that.
But the pricing is different. I'm pretty sure that the pricing is different. It's a difference of $5, but it's but because I have heard the question before and there was an answer to it, but let me check that. But that you can sort of replicate, I think you can replicate your applications in the different data centers if you really are global, and you want to have proximity. Let me come back to that. Another way to create the connection between on-premise and public cloud is data synchronization. So you can one of the things you can do, you have a SQL Server on site, you have a SQL Azure, you can synchronize data between the two databases.
No.
Let's just say private cloud is just a data center.
Sure.
Yeah, replace it by a data center. You don't need to have a private cloud appliance from HP or Microsoft.
It's actually
it's customer data center. Yeah, good question. Then I was talking about AppFabric. One of the things that AppFabric is doing is creating it's a service bus. So with AppFabric, you will be able to build applications which will run, and I have some examples of that later on, which is running in Azure, and we will integrate in a secure manner with SAP, for instance, which is on site, with an Oracle database, or with a mainframe on site. So I have examples of that. And there was a question of security. AppFabric, as I said, is a service bus. AppFabric is also responsible for the X control, so to implement the security of your within your applications. And one of the things we are supporting within Active Directory and AppFabric access control are all the standards for federated identity. What does that mean? If in that manner you can provide single sign-on between on-premise applications and applications which are running in the public cloud. So the user doesn't have to authenticate each time if we move from on-premise to public cloud. And those four, I would say, scenarios are by default part of Azure. They not came by accident. So those are the four ways you can basically create some hybrid applications. And I have some. This is good overview. So it's not really. It's customers, data center, private cloud, and then how you connect with public clouds. One example we have is again a local example. It's again Real Domain, by the way, and it's one of their architects which had some time left, and he basically wrote a PowerShell script in the System Center of I think between 10 and 20 lines, and the scenario is quite interesting. So what you see, there is a web server which is on premise in the customer data center. The web server is on fire. On fire means, well, there's suddenly a peak of server customers accessing the web server, so there is no compute, no storage, whatever capacity anymore. So the web server is on fire. So what happens in System Center? So the systems, the management solution, which also is supporting hybrid scenarios. So in that case, there will be scale out to Windows Azure. Windows Azure will allocate more compute powers to handle the peak moment. And when the peak moment is over, there will be a scale down back to the web server. So the title of this block is scale out and scale back to the cloud. So this is a really nice example where within your data center, you will handle peak moment to scale out to the cloud, and when you have handled the peak moment, you just scale back to the cloud. And again, Windows Azure is all about you only pay what you use. Well, maybe in that case, you will pay 1 hour or 2 hours or whatever.
How does a typical function like that look like? Is it like time-based? Or if I say I'm not using anything for about a year now, and I only use it for those type of things, is there a validity date on it, or how does it work?
Is there a reservation fee or something?
Yeah.
I thought you were referring to the script. You were talking about Azure.
Yeah
I don't know. Reservation fee. There are different ways to. In that case, you will need. One way to get on Azure is via credit card, but clearly this is not a credit card mechanism. Another way is that it's part of your license agreement you have with Microsoft, and basically you sort of say, well, within 1 year I will consume that amount of CPU and SQL Azure, and basically you could say you have made that reservation within that 1 year.
And technically you don't need the reservation, so it's just on the billing side that you could make a
But when Azure is part of your enterprise agreement, and say you make the commitment that within 1 year you will consume for 10,000 euros, I'm making up a number, complete. Then we guarantee you, that's the reservation thing, right? We guarantee you that you will get this compute power for that amount. If within that 1 year we go over, because I mean our data centers are not unlimited either, right? So we must make some capacity planning. So, but point I want to make with the credit card: you're a developer, you want to test something out, you just use your credit card. You don't need complex license agreements with Microsoft if you want to do something on.
And what type of functionality of Azure has been used in this example? Is it just a database or is this an application running on Azure?
No. Just what you see, I don't think you see. Within Azure, we support different roles. One of the roles is a web role, and it's basically the web server, Microsoft web server in the cloud. So the on-site, you see the WIS web server on premise. So and we provide this as a cloud service, basically. In that example, right? You're talking about development? If you have Visual Studio, you can download a Azure SDK, and Richard has to correct me when I'm around, and you can basically simulate, while developing in Visual Studio on your workstation, with the SDK, you basically simulate an Azure environment, right? So the point I want to make,
Visual Studio, within the VM, you actually get about 3 hours. So you're working on the live Azure environment, that's your application. It's not a simulation, it's not like...
But you can do it also on site, on your workstation, right?
Yeah.
No? Yeah.
And so if you want more scale, you buy more power. But you get access to the config files, which allows you some things that you can run the config.
Use on Link? Run on Link in Azure?
It's not Azure, it's Office
360. Yeah. Yes. Well, Link, we have a Link in the cloud, but it's part of Office 365. And it's not, I mean, it's sort of the same data center, but it's not that it's running on Azure.
Right? Well, I'm thinking about if you would, for instance, do Exchange 2010 with enterprise capabilities in a cloud model.
And that's Office 365? We support Link in the cloud for IAM, desktop sharing, but not for voice. You will still need a Link server on premise to have this thing. That I'm sure. I'm not the expert, but that I'm sure for Link. Yeah. This is it's an ugly slide, but this is it's another reference we have. It's a US reference. And this is a kind of interesting scenario I was referring to early on, because you have on-premise, forget private cloud, you have on-premise, you have your existing data center, you have SAP, you have even a mainframe from IBM, so you will not throw those things, basically you can't throw them in into the cloud, but there is a means to leverage those investments you have been making, so you can develop in Azure an application. And here, this is an app fabric scenario, so it's service bus and access control. So you will, and this application can integrate via BizTalk server on site to mainframe or SAP or to whatever existing system you have running in. Actually, one of the scenarios we are currently working on with Arcelor in Luxembourg, they have CRM Online. So CRM Online is a SaaS offering. CRM Online does integrate with Azure, and via Azure, they will integrate CRM Online with the SAP installations they have on premise. This is basically a very realistic scenario you can imagine. So if there was some, we have covered that, yes. Okay. And then I have some concluding slides about architecture of data centers. And the point I want to make here, I will not discuss all those difficult terms, it's pretty technical, but the first two bullets are very important, because in the sense, if you, the point I want to make is that if you look to your own data center, the high level architecture of your next generation data center of a private cloud is really horizontal architecture. If you would look to the data centers of Google, Facebook, or Microsoft, you will see container or racks of full of small servers. I mean, they are small servers which are loosely coupled, because you have to be able to allocate them in dynamic manner. So basically what I'm not saying it's the end of the mainframe, but mainframe will never go away, but I would say that the standard architecture, hardware architecture of your data center of the future will be horizontal architecture on you mentioned the left hand of our HP. It's also on the storage.
Is the question about scale up?
It's a bit so I'm basically saying I don't think that you can build with vertical hardware systems scalable.
Tandem systems or Everests and those.
But do you believe that? I've read a book on the history of internet. I think it was the CEO of Digital. He said we only need two systems, and Digital went broke, right? So I think I understand what you mean, and there will be a place for that kind of solution. But I'm afraid those are very, 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 very expensive solution. Point I want to hear is that you have commodity hardware. When I talk to HP in Belgium, they tell me, well, HP is the market leader in Intel-based x86 systems. And they say the majority of our servers we are shipping are two-socket systems. So, and this is what I think happening. People are buying cheap commodity hardware, and they go for horizontal and with management solution like System Center or other solution, you can build really scalable, reliable architectures. That's basically the point I want to make here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way data centers of companies are evolving?
Well,
if I look at the us, for example, you see that, okay, now they tend to start to virtualize everything more and more.
Yeah.
But virtualizing usually means, in the classical way, buying bigger boxes, right? Buying big machines, it's not the way it should be. So they buy two systems and then put many virtual systems on top of it. Here you're saying, no, buy small boxes, lots of them, virtualize them.
Yeah. And this is a high-level view of the architecture of Azure, and that the if you would visit, by the way, if you're interested, we can visit the Dublin data center, for instance. You will see all those small units, and this is basically the high-end architecture you will see of Azure, and have also architecture diagrams of Facebook, and you're saying Facebook, it's a consumer service, but I've seen pictures of the data centers of Facebook. It's really impressive. I mean, it's really impressive. The web front end of Facebook, it's one data center, and they don't have SLAs with their consumers, but they say within X milliseconds we must guarantee so the user experience must be perfect. So, and if you would read the downtowns of Facebook or even Hotmail from Microsoft, it's really impressive. I think Facebook during the last 5 years went down one or two times. I don't think there are many professional outsourcers who can claim the same thing. So. Yeah. So the point I want to make, if you would look to, if you want to kind of show it, the architecture diagram of Facebook, it's the same. So the message, maybe it's. The message that we are giving is that if you looked at what Microsoft is doing, but also Facebook, Google, the kind of architectures they are building in the public clouds, I do believe this will have an impact on the way you will build in the future your private cloud or your on-premise data center. That's basically what I want to say. And again, you can say Facebook, it's a consumer service. It's pretty impressive what they're doing in terms of infrastructure in order to deliver a service, a consumer service, who must be there all the time. Yeah. So. And this is my last slide, and I think we discussed it with some people here, is that. And it's basically, again, a summary of what Bart has been saying. For us, you have some colleagues who are saying it's all about public clouds. Some colleagues are saying it's all about private clouds. What we are doing is looking at you as a customer, and we are seeing that you're doing still a lot of traditional stuff. Forget about the cloud. You're doing still a lot of traditional stuff. You're doing virtualization, consolidation. You probably do some investments in private cloud, but at the same time, you will go to Azure or to CRM Online or to Salesforce.com. You will go to Office 365. So the point I want to make is that the next generation IT department will become a sort of federated service provider, and you will have this famous self-service portal, and you will provision services which are coming out of your own data center, but a lot of services will come out of the public cloud, and you will act as a sort of broker, because say somebody needs a virtual machine, and you will basically scan the public cloud offerings, and you will, dependent on the SLA you want to provide to your internal user, you will pick the cheapest virtual machine of the day, which is Amazon, Rackspace, or whatever. So I really believe that, and this is just a translation what we mean by it's, at the end of the day, the location doesn't really matter. It will be very unique and hybrid environment you will support from a cloud perspective in the future. And the point I want to make is that we do provide solutions for private cloud and public cloud, but managing this kind of environment, the security of that kind of environment, the governance of that kind of environment will be very important. And that's also, if you look to the evolution of System Center will, from a management, but also from a self-service point of view, manage those kind of complex environments.